Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to And Nothing But the Truth Coast to Coast with Larry Allison and Frank Pernuccio. Each week we bring you the news analysis the old media is too biased, timid, or politically correct to provide. We are brought to you by the New York Analysis of Policy and Government. For a free subscription, email them at usgovpolicy@gmail.com and visit their website at usagovpolicy.com. You can join our discussion this afternoon by calling our studio at 877-674-2436, or as most of you do, by emailing your questions to truthinradio@gmail.com.
Our sponsors today are Capital Shield Agency, Inc. and Bronx Taxman, Inc., located at 3707 East Tremont Avenue, Bronx, New York, 10465. Capital Shield Agency, Inc. is a full-service insurance agency located in the Bronx and serving all of New York State. They offer a variety of insurance packages and services, including auto, homeowners, co-op, renters, wedding, flood, life, business, health, and workers' comp and New York disability. See how Capital Shield Agency can help you. They have excellent packages at the best premiums available, and they have a stellar reputation for comprehensive service. They get client respect the old-fashioned way, they earn it. Bronx Taxman, Inc. Is also a full-service financial company with over 25 years combined experience. They offer a genuine commitment to professional, affordable, and personalized service. They'll work with you to offer you the best service at the best price. Why get your taxes prepared by seasonal tax preparation offices when Bronx Taxman is there when you need them? They're open all year round. Yeah, they are an IRS-authorized e-file provider, and they also have earned a stellar reputation for their comprehensive services. We hope you'll take the time to see for yourself what Bronx Tax Manning has to offer, and it's much more important even today with the looming tax Mageddon on January 1 to go to Bronx Tax Man and start talking to John Cerini and his staff about how to prepare for the eventuality of what may be the biggest tax increase in the history of the United States. So call Capital Shield or Bronx Taxman, Inc., or both at either 718-829-3200 or 718-TAX-1040. That's 718-829-1040, where excellence and professionalism will address all your insurance and comprehensive tax service needs. Tell them Frank and Larry and Nothing But the Truth sent you. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Larry. Before we get into the substance of today's show, I just want to talk a bit more again about a topic that we have brought up on several occasions, which is what's happening, scheduled to happen in December at the International Telecommunications Union meeting in Dubai.
The ITU.
And freedom-minded people from around the world, I'm talking about dissidents in Russia, the people in the United States as a whole, mm-hmm. all over Western Europe, even in China, mm-hmm. are deeply concerned about. The ITU UN conference mm-hmm. is an attempt to, quote, control the Internet.
Right.
They want to take it out of right. the way it's been run right. so far
right.
and allow governments through the United Nations
right.
to control the content of the Internet. And the main goal of this is that no matter what country you are, I guess the phrase is broadcasted from
right.
on the Internet,
okay.
this ITU can come in and somehow control what you're saying. To the extent that if for example, on this show, if I make a statement, mm-hmm. or Larry makes a statement mm-hmm. that we are deeply concerned that Iran is getting a nuclear weapon and somebody should stop them because they're going to use it to start a war in the Middle East. The Iranian government can file a lawsuit in an American court against us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this obviously is going to eliminate the freedom that the Internet and Internet users have been accustomed to.
Well, they would then probably have to come to the United States where I could literally get my hands on it. if my memory serves me correctly, the ITU is a fairly – it was created back in the 19th century – for the established protocols between countries for the use of the telegraph and later the telephone. So it was kind of an organization that was dealing with the technology as opposed to the content. And it's been
right,
around, and then it was incorporated, I believe, into the United Nations. Do I have that right?
You're absolutely right. But
yeah.
It is, now they're talking about not the technology. Again, what
right.
it's not to facilitate the technology.
Right.
It's actually to reduce the freedom
right.
within
it,
that
it,
technology.
This is not a technology issue. This is a content issue.
It is probably
a free speech issue.
It is one of the greatest threats to free speech
right.
that we have ever faced.
Right.
And it seems a little bit esoteric. We're looking at the November elections. This is after November. You know, it sounds a little bit out there, but the fact is, this is the greatest threat to free
yeah.
speech we have ever faced.
You know,
if not now, it also sets a legal precedent,
mm-hmm.
because if the United Nations, through the ITU, can do this on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
there's absolutely nothing that says you can't use this as a legal precedent
mm-hmm.
for regular broadcast TV or
right.
radio,
right.
or newspapers, for that matter.
Right.
And again, understand what they're talking about. If you sitting in, you know, Sioux City, Iowa,
right.
dead in the center of the country, write an article saying that the leaders of China are not good people and they should be opposed, you could be sued by that government in an American court.
Well, they've tried, this has been tried before. Mark Stein was, for example, under a defamation lawsuit in Great Britain because he wrote a book called America Alone. Which was considered defamatory toward Islam, and under the state under British law at that time, I think it's changed. He was, even though he lives in the United States and I believe he's a U.S. citizen now, he was chased out of Canada, and he was. So there have been a lot of different attempts to control content. The question. The basic question that everybody has to ask is, why are they doing this? Okay, and that's really the heart of the matter, and the why they are doing this, I believe, is very, very, very malevolent. I think that this is not simply for some sort of international protocol so the internet works better. We know, in point of fact, that in China they have a different Google system, don't they?
Well, what's happened is that actually throughout the world, in most dictatorial countries, they have different types of Google systems that allow
ways to block it.
That allow right to
right.
block it, and
right.
this happens extensively in China and Iran.
Right.
And this is an attempt to use that system to block freedom in places like Canada, the United States, Western Europe,
right.
you know, Israel, Japan.
A lot of this is being driven by the political Islamists who want to use it for defamation lawsuits against Islam. And this is something the OIC has been pushing, for example. That's the Organization of Islamic Countries. Which is a part of the UN. It's 57 nations, they have been pushing they want a resolution to make defamation of Islam an international crime.
You know, this is part and parcel of an attempt to. The left in this country has basically been annoyed, if not worse, by the Bill of Rights for a hell of a long time. And
pesky Bill of Rights.
And time after time, attempts to limit the Bill of Rights has
what
failed.
What the hell was Madison thinking?
Has failed.
Yeah.
You know, and there are certain areas which lately the left, under the current extreme left domination of the Democratic Party, has been hitting on. For example, for the first time in American history that I can recall, a major political party, the Democrat Party, has attempted to limit the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech. And this has been endorsed by Pelosi and others, where they wanted to say that corporations, for example,
right.
don't have the right to engage
under
in political speech.
Citizens United,
and they actually,
right.
Pelosi actually suggested amending the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights.
Well, if you recall, the President of the United States in the State of the Union address.
Correct, yeah.
Admonished the Supreme Court, who comes to this, and they sit there, and nobody ever attacks the Supreme Court. I've never seen the Supreme Court be attacked by a president in a State of the Union address, except for this one time with Obama. And you saw Mr. Justice Alito mouth the words, "That's not true," when the president made his accusation.
Yeah. No,
it was. If you notice, in subsequent State of the Union addresses, most of the court is not there anymore.
That's correct.
They won't come anymore.
That's correct. That's correct. But let's go on to a couple of other things. So let's talk about the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for decades and decades, the left has been attempting to limit the right to bear arms. Mm-hmm. Now, again, whether or not you believe that regular citizens should have the right to have self-protection weapons,
assault weapons or otherwise,
any weapons whatsoever, if you legitimately feel that way,
the
only correct way to get around it is to honestly say, let's have a debate about the Second Amendment to the Constitution.
Right.
The left has attempted to ignore that, and they just want to do it either through regulation on the state level or local level. Now, they failed in those areas, too. There have been numerous Supreme Court cases which has reaffirmed the Second Amendment. So now what are they doing? There's a United Nations attempt to ban handguns and rifles worldwide under treaty.
It's an additional set of regulations that goes all the way down to legitimate gun stores, et cetera, in terms of adding a mountain of paperwork and regulations that would be established via treaty on the selling of guns, and it would limit the number of guns you can buy within certain time periods and the like. It is the ongoing, it's another battle in the ongoing war to take guns away from American citizens. And it's not just assault weapons. I mean, we've heard the arguments, why do you need a gun? Why do you need a weapon that can shoot 100 rounds a minute? And you don't use that for hunting, so on and so forth. Unless you believe in the zombie apocalypse, you get that argument, and particularly after some of these terrible situations.
Larry, I've seen you eat. I'm beginning to believe
Zombie apocalypse. Right. Don't go out to Pizza Hut with me. But that's not really the issue. I think the issue is issue number one. You're allowing illegal guns to be sold, and nobody seems to be able to stop it. That's number one. Number two, you're allowing people who are crazy to get these guns. So the screening process, there's obviously something wrong with it. Okay, and the last couple of people that have done these horrible things, and I include the lunatic in Norway. Okay, it's not just here in the United States. Are nut jobs. These people they howl at the moon. What? No, they shouldn't get a gun. Nobody, no reasonable person is saying you should give a gun to a lunatic.
Right.
But it reminds me, Frank, and this is an example. When we've been in government a long time, there was a point in time, and I think I may have used this example before. Let me do it again. The Housing Authority was suffering through a spate of hallways being set on fire because the paint they were using was not inflammable. Okay?
Was not non-inflammable.
Not non-inflammable, right. And what did they do? They fired the guy who bought the paint. Okay? And then bought inflammable paint, okay, instead of going after the people
who set the hallway on
fire.
Yeah. But that's almost a secondary issue in the sense that...
No, I think it's a primary.
That's the constitutional issue that's involved here. It's that, again, whatever your views are on the Second Amendment,
right,
the only way to legally address it is a full discussion on the merits of the Second Amendment at all.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is inappropriate. Now, let's go further on down the line. The Ninth and Tenth Amendments, which say that those powers not given to the federal government belong to the states or to the people respectively.
That's the Tenth Amendment, right.
The liberals have been ignoring that amendment completely.
Well, there's time after time again. A 100-year a diminution of the 10th Amendment. I mean, it really the federal government has just, as it particularly it started during Theodore Roosevelt's Woodrow Wilson added to it, FDR really added to it by taking away things that were obligations and duties that traditionally belong to the state and localities, and bringing them into the federal fold. The federal government simply absorbed that. And you know what? The states and the localities let them.
Yeah.
They let them.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets back to, you know, everybody's got a lot to, you know, stop pointing fingers and start pointing at yourself.
What's happened, though, is that all of these attempts really to reduce the Bill of Rights, which the First, the Second, the Ninth, or the Tenth Amendments, generally have been beaten back one way or the other, through the popular will of the people, through elections, or through United States Supreme Court cases. So now there's a new tactic. And the new tactic is not to go through the American voters, not to go through the American people, not to go through the Supreme Court, but to go to international treaties.
Right.
And here is where the difference between the left and the right is contrasted sharply. The right in America believes that the Bill of Rights is supreme, that nothing trumps the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
So the left is now making a case, and President Obama and his appointees to the Justice Department have been the spearhead of this attempt, of saying that international treaties can be used to reduce the Bill of Rights. That international
Article 2, I think Article 2, Section 2, which talks about the law of the land and includes international treaties. But there's ample case law, okay, that says international treaties that violate the Constitution are null and void. What these guys are trying to do are trying to use international treaties as a backdoor to getting things that they can't get through the Congress and the people are against, and they're willing to go through the fight, the legal fight, and hopefully that they'll hang on long enough that they'll get a majority in the Supreme Court and that it will become the law of the land, because treaties are the law of the land. They're the force of law.
You mentioned the Supreme Court, and let's not forget that President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Justice Elena Kagan, when she was being screened by the United States Senate, refused to concede the fact, long accepted by almost every jurist in the United States, that Americans have what's in the Declaration of Independence, unalienable rights. She choked on that issue, and it was not just that she didn't understand, she truly didn't believe, and she made it clear that rights come not from nature or from God, as it says in the Declaration of Independence,
right,
but from the government. That is a radically different view. And in fact, the entire basis, not only the American Revolution, but of the entire American governmental experience has been that the rights of the people are not dependent on the goodwill of the government.
Right.
They are inherent.
Right.
And that the people...
And the basic purpose of the government is to protect
those rights.
For the people, that's the first and foremost obligation and responsibility of the government. The other thing that they don't talk about is that when you know, there's the famous story of Franklin, who was the oldest delegate at the Constitutional Convention. He was 81 years old at the time, and he came out, and this took 100 days. This is the Constitution is the shortest constitution in the world. It took 100 days to write, and when he was at September 17th, when they finished it, he left the hall, and a lady approached him on the street, and she said, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government have you given us? And he famously said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. Now, you take this, what he meant was, you have to go back a little into Montesquieu and some of the writing. Washington talked about this. Jefferson talked about it. Adams, Madison, Mason, a lot of the founders talked about the Republic of Virtue. Now, what do you mean by a Republic of Virtue? Republic of Virtue means that people monitor themselves. They subscribe to a common set of values and behavior that they adhere to, largely coming from religion. and that it, and even if you don't believe in the religion, you believe in the values. You believe, even if you don't believe in God, you believe in the Ten Commandments. And the country was founded on that. And why was it founded that way? Because they didn't want government getting in their face.
And part of it, too, is that the genius of the American thought and American character was clearly contained in the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there was a lot of debate during those 100 days about the specifics of how the government should work and how those rights should be guaranteed, there was at least a general consensus, just as you said, Larry, that whatever faith you believed in or whatever your political philosophy, that the end result
right.
had to be a guarantee of individual rights where those rights were inherent in you and not coming
and
from the government.
Self-governance. Because the people were responsible for their own behavior. Therefore, the government never had to be so intrusive or so
right.
large
right.
that it got into your face. When Alexis de Tocqueville came to the United States, and he did twice in the 1830s, one of the things that de Tocqueville talked about was he would go to these small towns and everything, and he would not see the presence of government. There was no sign of
right.
government anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. And he came from France, and they had gone through the cataclysm of the French Revolution, the Napoleon, there was Louis Napoleon, whatever. Government was all over the place. He didn't see government anywhere, and that was because the American public. In the phase of moving westward, constantly moving forward, we're had all bought into this for the most part this consensus of behavior
right.
and belief stemming from the Judeo-Christian values, and they were policing themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is, Frank, that's where we have to go back to. That's our destination. If we want to be a great country again, I don't care how complex the society has gotten, how technologically complex or how societally complex, we must strive to go back to a consensus on values and personal behavior and personal responsibility so that government can get the hell out of our face.
Yeah.
We are brought to you today by Metro Optics Eyewear. In case you don't see so well and you don't understand that government's in your face, go to Metro Optics Eyewear, who's been serving the eye care needs of the Bronx for 35 years. Conveniently located in Westchester Square, Parkchester and Hunts Point sections, Metro provides a full range of products and services, including eye examinations, medical optometrists, emergency care contact lenses, specialty prescription lenses, electronic eyewear, and the very latest in today's top designer eyewear brands. Metro is the exclusive Bronx distributor for Cartier and Chanel eyewear in the Bronx and the only carrier authorized to fit and dispense Empower electronic eyewear. They are a recipient of the 2011 DARE Award for Excellence in Retail Innovation, and Metro Optics' fully licensed professional staff specialize in hard-to-fit prescriptions for today's fashion-forward styles. You need something in a hurry, Metro's centralized in-house lens fabricating lab can get you on your way the very same day. If you need a special gift for that hard-to-please person on your list, Metro's customized gift basket may be just the thing. Metro Optics is a member of the New York State Optometric Association and the New York State Society of Opticians. They provide the finest in world-class eyewear and customer service, and they warranty it all in writing. So for further information or to check out Metro's promotional specials, log on to their website at metrooptics.com or call them at 1-800-230-EYES, Metro Optics, where you get world-class eye care right in the Bronx. Tell them Frank and Larry sent you.
You're listening to And Nothing But the Truth, Coast to Coast with Larry Ellison and Frank Vernuccio, bringing you each week the news analysis the old media is too biased, timid, or politically correct to provide. We are brought to you by the New York Analysis of Policy and Government. For a free subscription, email them at usgovpolicy@gmail.com and visit their website at usagovpolicy.com. That's usagovpolicy.com. You can join in our discussion this afternoon by calling our studio at 877-674-2436. That's 877-674-2436. Or by emailing your questions as many of you do, to Truth in Radio, TRUTHINRADIO, at gmail.com.
I want to say two things, Frank, before we move on. First of all, I want to pay respects and homage to, we lost a great American, Neil
Armstrong. One of the greatest in history.
Neil Armstrong. And not only great American, but truly in the sense of a great citizen of the world, because it was a small step for mankind, but a great leap for a great leap for mankind. This
I've
was
got to tell you,
a humble man who he could have made millions and millions of dollars. He retired from the Astronaut Corps, went back to Cincinnati, became a college professor, and never capitalized
at all
on this. And he was, you know, in an age of cynicism, which we certainly live in. This guy was like the ultimate Eagle Scout. And I think America's hungry for guys like this. It is a big. We lost Sally Ride this year, and we lost Neil Armstrong. And I will never forget. I remember where I was when I saw him get out of the lunar lander and step on the moon.
I remember like it was yesterday.
It was 11 o'clock in the morning. And I Eastern Standard Time, and I couldn't believe that I was watching somebody that was walking on the moon. The flags are going to be at half staff starting Friday. It's going to be buried on Friday. And
it's interesting that in the entire time since that wonderful episode in American history, in world history for that matter, that this man, this self-effacing man, never said a word about politics or public policy until just about, I believe it was 2 months ago, when President Obama killed the man.
I know Gene Cernan spoke up, too, and he was the last man to walk on the moon.
When President Obama killed the manned space program. Now, for those of you who don't know, I used to own a micro-publishing company.
And you were born on Mars.
Yeah, that's Mars. called the Space Press in the 1980s. Pre-computers, actually. And it was this newsletter that
they got the space bar on the computer.
That's absolutely right. I'm responsible for that.
Right.
Al Gore invented the internet by inventing the space bar.
You invented the space bar, right.
And, so the space program is something that was always near and dear to my heart. And I think when Obama killed the space program, I mean, it literally brought tears to my eyes. And this self-effacing, quiet man who never got involved with public debates, for the first time in his life got involved because he was so hurt by the destruction of the manned space program by President Obama.
It wasn't a political. It was in his own. Neil Armstrong was just, by all reports, people that knew him, just one of the most self-effacing men that ever lived. I mean, it had to take something that really wounded him.
Yeah. And I think, too, the assault on the American character, the assault on the greatness of our past has been so pronounced by this administration. I don't care what your political philosophy is, what your political party is, if you just look at the objective facts of the disaster to our economy, the disaster to our foreign affairs, the danger that we face abroad from the huge mistakes this administration has made, and the assault on our pride that comes from the destruction of the space program, the effects of the economy, of the future economy. If you care anything about the future economic viability of the United States, technology is at the forefront of that. And the assault on the space program is an assault on the economic viability of America going forward.
I look at it this way, Frank. This administration says in so many different ways, it's a single message. It says to Americans, you no longer have the right stuff. And that's the difference between the Democratic Party of John F. Kennedy, who launched us and started, Eisenhower did, but Kennedy made the goal to land a man on the moon before the end of the decade,
I'd have to give President Kennedy far more credit than President Eisenhower.
But Eisenhower is the
one. Can you imagine?
But this administration, over and over and over again, is telling the American people, as they get mired in dependency and despair, and what are the three D's that Paul Ryan despair,
dependency, and defeat,
and defeat or something, deficits. That they don't have the right stuff anymore.
Yeah.
The American character is not going to accept that.
Can you imagine, as we're entering into the two conventions, Democrat and Republican, what a reception John Kennedy would have received? He would be booed out of the Democratic convention.
He would have been cheered at the Republican convention.
He would have been cheered at the Republican
convention. Right.
He would have been, consider.
And frankly, I think Bobby would too.
Can you imagine, but John Kennedy's message, bear any price, bear any burden, pay any price for the defense of freedom.
Right.
He would have been thrown off the stage for that.
Right.
His defense, of the space program, he would have been thrown out. His deep concern about the military security of the United States and the reduction in our defense posture vis-a-vis Russia would have been tossed off the stage. I can barely think of a single tenet that John Kennedy believed in that this Democratic Party, which is really a hard left socialist party, would possibly agree with. So for those of you who have been Democrats for generations, this is not your father's Democratic Party. This is hardly a Democratic Party in the traditional sense at all.
Right, and frankly, you should go back to whatever church or synagogue you used to go to and become a Christian and a Jew again instead of a liberal. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say, that's my anti-Bob Beckel remark, okay? Now I should talk about when I was a drunk, okay? The other thing I want to say is that we got Hurricane Isaac is bearing down once again on New Orleans, and everybody, two of us, want to add our hopes and prayers for the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. The tidal surge. I had heard originally the tidal surge was going to be as high as 18 feet. Now they're talking 6 to 12 feet, and they're saying that what they put in place after Katrina. The Army Corps of Engineers, will hold. This is not as big or as concentrated a storm as Katrina was. But remember, Katrina, the damage Katrina did was after the hurricane went through. It was when Pontchartrain and the levees failed, and that flooded the Ninth Ward and flooded the city.
There is an additional danger from this hurricane that actually didn't exist in Katrina. Katrina moved relatively expeditiously.
Fast. This is a slow-moving...
Yeah. The flood that could possibly occur in New Orleans could come not from the tidal surge...
From the rain.
From the rain itself.
18 inches, they're talking about 18. And the ground... New Orleans has not gone through the drought that the rest of the country's gone through. It's pretty saturated down there. So they're worried about the French Quarter. The French Quarter didn't get flooded.
It was relatively okay.
Okay. So they're worried about the rain. Now... Here's the two things that they have going for them that they didn't have when Katrina hit. Bobby Jindal and Mitch Landrieu.
Yeah.
Mitch Landrieu is the mayor of New Orleans. He is the sister of Senator Mary Landrieu, the son of the famous Moon Landrieu, who was the mayor of New Orleans. And Bobby Jindal is the governor.
Yeah, I want to right or wrong here. That has historically been done.
So what's his, Mr. Brown?
Mayor, the former mayor,
Nagrin,
was an incompetent fool.
As was Catherine Blanco.
Let me make sure that got through clearly.
Yeah.
Mayor Nagrin was an incompetent fool who caused untold misery to the people of New Orleans for his acts. The governor, former governor,
Catherine Blanco,
who basically had a hissy fit and didn't allow the federal government to do what it wanted to do.
Right.
Was responsible equally for the misery of the people of New Orleans. Fortunately, those two incompetent Democrat officials who are responsible for massive suffering of their own people are no longer in power. But there's one other part of the story that as someone who is on the air along with you, Larry, all the time, that just bothers the heck out of me, which is the press, the biased press, absolutely refuse to lay a glove
on
that idiot mayor and that idiot governor, and instead, in their partisanship, blame the federal government, which had really no major problems.
And Frank, here's the issue. Was I
clear enough that Mayor
Nagrin, Governor Blanco,
were idiots who caused untold suffering to the people of
New
Orleans?
Because this is how it works. Okay, FEMA comes in when the governor asks FEMA to come in. When the governor says, FEMA, I need you for A, B, C, and D. Okay, and the governor is hopefully working hand in glove with the mayor, not only of New Orleans, but this thing is going to go inland. You know, there's going to be Baton Rouge may get hit. So Bobby Jindal's got the whole state of Louisiana to worry about. And this may go as far as Little Rock and to Arkansas.
Right.
So Bobby Jindal's got the whole thing, and Mitch Landrieu has got the city of New Orleans, got NOLA to worry about. And they're working together, and these guys are two competent guys. But they run the show. FEMA doesn't run the show.
Right.
FEMA is almost helpless with that direction from the state. Catherine Blanco was totally refused to give the order to invite FEMA in.
Right.
This has not been reported, or it's been reported so erratically that nobody understands it. The state is in charge, and FEMA is there to help the state,
right?
And that's what the Louisiana and New Orleans have got going for them. Four words: Governor Jindal and Mayor Landrieu.
But most importantly, our hearts and our prayers go out to the people of New Orleans. We hope you stay safe. We hope you stay secure. And the
Big Easy is one of the most unique cities in the world, much less the United States, and it is a national treasure, and we pray that the citizens of New Orleans don't have to go through anything remotely resembling what they went through after Katrina. So having said that, now, today is the first day of the convention, and our guest on Saturday is going to be, F. Vincent Vernuccio, who used to be with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and now he's with the Mackinac Institute. And
he's addressing one of the sidebar sessions of the convention.
Right.
And he'll be giving us a report, an insider's report of what happened down there and where he thinks all this is going.
One of the things I want to ask him is, there was a very unusual story in the New York Post yesterday that Chris Christie decided not to go for the VP slot because he thought Romney was a loser. It was a big story, whole page story. And nobody, including in the conservative press, picked that story up. I've heard nothing since then. It was a full page story. And
where was this?
The New York Post. Interesting. New York Post. And I will be very curious to ask Vinny when he comes on what he heard down there. Because, as everybody knows, there's two main speakers tonight. Ann Romney, who is just a wonderful speaker and a terrific, she'd make a terrific candidate of herself. She's a great, she's just.
Can you believe what the Obama people.
And New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the one I can't wait for Chris Christie.
I can't, speaking of Ann Romney,
if Ann Coulter doesn't rush the stage to attack him and assault him, she'll have to be reminded we're on, it's after 9 o'clock, so she can do anything she wants.
Right.
On cable, I guess.
I can't believe the assault that the Democratic Party officials have had on Ann Romney.
Oh,
a woman who has gone through multiple sclerosis.
Now we find out she had a miscarriage.
Had a miscarriage, and the vicious,
the personal assault. The whole dressage issue, okay, trying to make her look like a phony rich woman. And for those who don't understand, it has been a long therapy for people with multiple sclerosis.
Or cerebral palsy.
Or cerebral palsy, to use writing as a therapy. And dressage is, from an Olympic standpoint, is putting a horse through its emotions in a, you know, there's a whole, there's a sport around it. And for those people that think it's just a rich person's sport, it's not like, you know, everybody knows that Mayor Bloomberg's daughter, rides horses. I mean, I got nothing against people who ride horses.
The Cerebral Palsy Association has special funds set up,
right,
and special programs set up. And there are, in fact, centers around the country, the United Cerebral Palsy and other groups, take people who are afflicted with multiple sclerosis, MS, or cerebral palsy, and put them through these programs in order to give them some physical therapy and so forth. It's very effective physical therapy.
It's a coordination of you and the horse and controlling the horse and being, you know, and... It's proven.
So anyway, what happened?
It's a long term thing, and it's proven to be very helpful.
So anyway, when Ann Romney, who suffers from MS, was talking about her experience with dressage, and all of a sudden the Democrats start saying, "Oh, this is a rich woman talking about her sport."
Right. Hillary Rosen comes back. You know, she never worked a day in her life.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
We've got a
pretty nice thing. Yeah, we have a president of the United States who never worked
a day
of his life.
Yeah.
Right. It is so despicable. And let me just segue for a minute into the war on women, okay, because this is sort of part of that, okay, because Ann Romney is probably the most effective rebuttal to Mitt Romney doesn't like women. The war on women is what the Democrats are saying, or what the hard radical left of the Democratic Party is saying about women is the only issue that women care about is abortion, sterilization, birth control, and women's reproductive health. That's it. That's the only thing they care about. Let me tell you, the women I know, particularly women who are single women raising families, care about the price of carrots. They care about the price of gasoline.
Well,
they care about the fact their wages are stagnant. They care about if they've been laid off, they can't get a job. They care about the fact that the economy is in the toilet and doesn't look like it's coming back anytime soon. And they care about the cost of college tuition.
Let's clarify something, because people can get their own impressions of something that you said. The Republican position is certainly not against birth control. In the Sandra Fluke matter, it wasn't a question of preventing her from having access to birth control. It was whether this woman, who was more than capable of earning an income and of paying the price of a monthly birth control pill, which, by the way, was less than the cost of a movie.
No, I'm very clear here. Okay, you have to be an idiot not to misunderstand what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm saying the Democrats. listen up. And take a smart pill, okay? The Democrats are trying to put all women into a niche and say the issue that defines them is birth control, abortion, women's reproductive health.
Not even that. Wait. It's the government, the need for the government to pay for those things.
Well, that flows into it. What I am saying is first of all, women. It's impossible to define what women believe in, because women are just like men. They're not a monolithic voting block, and it is insulting, and it is sexist to even insinuate that they are. That's all I'm saying. Very clear. I'm not saying, you want me to do a commercial? You never want me to do. Okay, we'll do a commercial. Gold Shield Training Center, located at 4 South 6th Avenue, Mount Vernon, New York, 10550. The Gold Shield Training Center offers a full spectrum of all state-mandated training courses, including the 8-hour pre-assignment training course, the 16-hour on-the-job training course for security guards, the 47-hour firearms training course for armed security guards and armored car guards, the 35-hour peace officer training course, and all the state-mandated retrain courses. And in addition, Gold Shield Training Center offers a wide variety of specialized training courses, such as the NRA Basic Pistol Safety Course, First Aid, CPR, and AED training, defense tactics, training courses, bail enforcement training, which Frank knows a lot about, Connecticut blue card training, metal detection training, weapons of mass destruction training, improvised explosive devices, IED, and bomb threat training, threat assessments, and school crisis planning, and much more. All of their instructors, and it's very important to know this, are certified by New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services and the New York Law Enforcement Firearms Instructors and or NRA, National Rifle Association Law Enforcement Instructors, all of them have extensive training in their expertise. All their firearm instructors work in accordance with their full-service federal firearm licensed dealer, which is the Gold Shield Training Center. Furthermore, Gold Shield Training Center is associated with RDT Security Limited, a watch guard and patrol agency with armed and unarmed security guards, the Pioneer Shooting Center, the private shooting range facility, and the RT Smoke and Gun Shop, a full-service federal firearms license dealer where firearms, ammunition, and other gun accessories are available for purchase. Gold Shield Training Center is a life member of the Law Enforcement Alliance of America since 2004. The Gold Shield Training Center is available for your convenience Monday through Friday between the hours of 9 and 5, and that's 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. for people that are non-vampiric. For all their scheduling and billing inquiries, therefore, if you should have any questions or if you'd like to obtain more information, please feel free to contact them at 1-877-TRAIN-U-4 or online at www.goldshieldtrainingcenter.com. Ask for Mike Timlin or Zanine, his wife. They will tell them Larry and Frank sent you. Their phone number, again, is 914-667-2299. The toll-free number is 1-877-TRAIN-U-4, Gold Shield Training Center. Okay.
Our friends at the Westchester Broadway.
That was excellent, wasn't it? Did I do that good?
I think it was
I'm getting better and better at this.
Another 100 years will be adequate.
Right.
We got an email from
I'm going to do it in Latin.
That's amazing. Our friends at the Westchester Broadway Theater just emailed us, and they want to remind everyone that Cole Porter's Can-Can Musical opens August 30th. You get a great meal and a great show. And
not to be confused with the 2008 logo of the Obama campaign, which is Yes, You Can Can.
The Westchester Broadway Theater, Cole Porter's Can-Can Musical. We thank them for emailing us.
Great. Cole Porter is, it can't get any better than Cole Porter. Westchester is a great venue. Really top one.
You know what I like? I mean, you can park there.
Yeah.
And no problem.
Any place where you can park is getting so bad that any place close where you can park becomes, it kind of almost determines where you go.
Yeah. Well, when you have to pay, you know, it's funny, if you get on to Broadway in Manhattan, you can wind up paying as much for parking as you do for dinner.
Oh, you can pay more. Absolutely. I just want to. There's some a very surprising education that I just want to mention real quick that came out of the Foundry, the Heritage Foundation, today. It was online. The National Education Association, as the kids prepare to go back to school next week, has lost 308,000 members. Okay, they're experiencing
deserving group.
Decline in membership, and therefore their budget there's a decline in revenue of some $65 million, it's not necessarily that these are people that have been laid off. It's that people are, you know, when there are states like Wisconsin now where they don't have to join, they're not joining. They don't want to throw their dues away.
What's happening is that the NEA simply doesn't represent the interests of its members.
Nor the American Federation.
Nor the American people.
Right. No, the other union.
No, but
American Federation.
Neither one represents the actual interests of the students, nor the American people.
Right.
Here are the facts. Despite throwing more money at education than any place else in the world, we keep getting worse and worse returns. And it's not because of the teachers. We've got great teachers. It's not because of the parents or students. We've got some great parents and great students. The fact is, our schools have been turned into political indoctrination centers for hard left causes. We're reading, writing, and arithmetic, right, and the basics are considered second place or second
They're
importance.
They're not children-centric anymore.
Right.
They are union-centric.
And Larry,
not even teacher-centric.
Larry, you've heard me say this a number of times before. Everyone who walks into a school building, the teachers, the janitors, the principals,
has a contract.
Has a contract.
Except
the students.
Let me tell you, right now, today, the average per pupil per year spending in public schools across the country is $11,400, much, much more in New York City. So a child entering kindergarten today can expect to have no less than $148,000 spent on his or her education by the time the child graduates high school. And this year, in all, more than $570 billion, that's over a half a trillion dollars, will be spent on public K-12 education this year. And I submit to you, when you look at the scores, we are 25th in math in the world. Okay, we are way down in reading. We are way down in everything.
Despite spending more per student than any place else in the world.
Over half a trillion dollars. We are not getting our money's worth. And it's about time the American taxpayer and the American public and the parents and the students demand an answer.
Can you imagine
why?
If any other branch of local, state, or federal government was doing as bad a job as the educrats, the bureaucrats who run the educational system were doing, there'd be clothes for their heads.
You would, but if this was in the private sector, they would be out of business.
Yeah.
They would be out of business.
Yeah.
Now, we've
only got a few minutes left.
Okay, I just want to talk about that. As we said, the convention starts tonight. At the end of the convention, the Cardinal Dolan is going to be giving the benediction. Now, Cardinal Dolan also made an offer to the Democrats to go to Charlotte and do the same thing. He did not want to appear partisan, notwithstanding the fact that there are 52 church-related, most of them Catholic, organizations suing the federal government over the Obamacare regulations regarding what they have to include with regard to birth control and abortifacient drugs. But the cardinal's a good guy, and he's a gentleman, and he made the offer to the Democratic Party, and guess what?
They told him no.
They never got back to him.
Right.
Okay? They never got back to him, but they are going to have an event down there, and they're going to host radical Muslims. Okay?
This administration, which has proven itself to be both anti-Christian and anti-Semitic, nevertheless has decided to allow radical Muslims to address them.
I'm using radical Muslims so I'm reading from WND, and that's their characteristic. I don't want to, it's called Juma at the DNC. It's been presented by the Bureau of Indigenous Muslim Affairs, or BIMA, from August 31st to September 1st. And the brochure for the group says the group has been authorized by the Democratic National Convention, the DNC, to conduct Juma prayer as well as host the festivities and Islamic-related functions. Now, look, these are not radical political Islamicists that call for the Sharia law become the law of the land and call for violence against Americans, I have no problem with this. People like Robert Spencer, who is the director of JihadWatch.org, are saying he believes that the group intends to use the platform to claim that Muslims are being persecuted in America. And the fact that they didn't even get back and have the courtesy to get back to the cardinal. And Rick Warren, who, you know, was very, very much involved with Obama in 2008, has simply walked away from this. So there is, you know, the point of this is not the Muslim bash, because Frank and I, and I, you know, I don't want to get all wussy, you know, politically correct, but we know we have friends who are Muslims. They're wonderful people. They're not, they don't want to kill everybody. They're not jihadists, whatever. But so many of the organizations, particularly ones that are affiliated with the radical left wing of the Democratic Party, are, if you look, are affiliated with bad organizations, and are, in point of fact, a lot of them are unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land trial. So, you know, whenever the Democrats do something like this, it really has become necessary to take a look at what they're actually doing, and who is it that's doing it, and what kind of history they have. And that's a terrible thing to have to do. But this alignment between political Islam, really who are jihadists, and the radical left wing, they're united by their hatred of this country. And unfortunately, there are far too many people in the Democratic Party, if not the people controlling the Democratic Party today, that are involved in these kinds of things. And that's all I'll say, because there'll be a fatwa in my head tonight. A fatwa for the fat man. A fat man fatwa. Okay? Do you spell fatwa? P-H-A-T-W-A?
There you go. We left out one item, or two items actually, from our earlier discussions, which I just want to get to in the few seconds we have remaining.
Okay.
There are several articles out today saying that now that Obama has killed the American space program, that the prognosticators in this field say that the Chinese will be landing as their Taikonauts, they're called in China.
Taikonauts.
On the moon before the United States, right. It's been back in space. So that's something to watch out for.
You get out on the moon then? Oh.
Larry's part will be played next week by someone else.
Look, the Chinese, for all practical purposes, are hosing us. I'm with Donald Trump, okay? They are hosing us on a daily basis. You want me to be nice and polite to them?
Yeah.
You know what? Find somebody else. I ain't gonna. I'm tired of being kicked around by these people. I think the Chinese people are wonderful people. They've got a great culture and everything. The Communist Party can kiss my whatever.
And the other one, we were talking, yeah. We opened up the show talking about this war on the Internet.
Yeah.
And RT, which is an Internet information site, came out with a story, or broke a story today, that Russia's spy agency has ordered $1 million in software which they want to use to influence social networks around the world. You know, it's been said for a long time that the battles, the next wars are being started.
I'm sure Media Matters has already put in their RFP.
The RFP, right. that the next war...
Who, is Russian? Where do I apply?
The next war starts in cyberspace.
Yeah.
And according to this article, the Russians are certainly, like they are doing in the field of armaments, arming to the teeth.
And the Chinese too?
Yeah.
The Chinese too. I just want to say next week, one of the things, the stories we want to get to is I want to go back to, because this guy was not vetted, President Obama, properly during 2008. We want to talk about, in a little bit of detail, his vote in the Illinois State Senate on infanticide, okay? His vote to not give nourishment and care to infants born during an abortion. I think it's an important issue. It never got the coverage it needed to get, and we're going to take it up next week. I want to say 143 to my family.
714 to mine. Listen to us Saturday on WVOX 1454.
Venuccio is going to be there.
1460 a.m. If you're in the Westchester, Northern New York City area. If not, go to WVOX.com.
Right.
And you can
push on the Listen Live tab.
Right. Hit the Listen Live tab.
Top upper right-hand corner.
And you can get us just about any place in the world.
And you get a free CD of Frank doing sea chanties. Okay?
Not true.
Arr.
Have a good week, folks.